Alrighty, guys, welcome back. Here we go. So the final segment, part three, but yeah. It's also not just part three. It's episode 50, baby.
Let's go halfway to 100.
All right, halfway to 100, and we're not fucking stopping. All right. So episode 50. So in this last one here, we're going to be, I would recommend for anyone that hasn't listened to the other two, just definitely go back and listen to them first because it's a bit of a journey to get to this. So, Nick, we're gonna talk about
the business now
and into the future
moving forward. Yeah.
All right. So, So we sort of ended on the last one, essentially talking about offices and the business now, and I can't really go down the rabbit hole of every single year. You know, maybe when we get to 15 years or 20 years, I'll do a segment where we literally try to break it down into year by year. But the business now and how it's got to this and what it is, and essentially, man, this business has evolved into its own, I would say, its own living and breathing machine. It is functional, it is stable, and it's growing. It still needs a nudge from me, so I'm not going to sit here and say that it's self-running because it's definitely not. But, you know, the ever so slight nudge from me now is marginal compared to the amount of effort that I would have had to go through. And that is only because of the amount of, you know, the guys that we've got and the team that we've been able to build, and the guys that have not only that they've invested into me, not financially, but just, you know, they've come along for the vision and the journey, and we're definitely not done. I would say if anything, we are ramping up, and I will be talking about that as we move through this episode. But, they've bought into the vision on what our goal is and what the business is going to be doing. So as it stands at this very point, we've got about 23-ish people on payroll. So it's a far cry from the episode one when it was only just one.
Yeah.
But, you know, that obviously never happened overnight either. It's taken us 8 years, 9 years to get to this. And I've gone through peaks and troughs of more guys, less guys, more guys, less guys, more guys, less guys. You know, it's not always just about how many people you have. It's about how stable the business is.
Yeah.
I can confidently sit here and say that all our bills get paid. Anyone that works for us gets paid. I've never missed a payroll ever. Mm-hmm. And everyone super gets paid and tax, obviously. So, I don't have any payment plans or anything like that.
It's a big feat.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people can say.
And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. So, you know, it's been an absolute grind. So I'm definitely not one of those businesses that you hear about, I'm turning over $100 million overnight. And, you know, it's just a sheer effort and sheer fucking grind, mate. That's essentially what it was. But kudos goes to all the guys that have stayed for the journey and jumped on. And I'm a strong believer in that. I look after the people that look after us. The line of work and how we've evolved and what we do now versus what we did, as I touched on in episode one, I never really knew what the fuck we wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to start my own business. And then as I touched on in part two was, I wanted to be that superstar builder. I wanted to be out there and build luxury homes. And, there was one thought in my head where I wanted to do spec homes and do this and do that. And, I never really knew. So, you know, it wasn't until I would say probably year five where I had the realization that we were good at one thing and I was good at B2B, not only relationship building, but understanding how that whole thing works. And I didn't want to deal with clients, not that I had any bad run-ins with clients. I just knew that the business that I wanted to run was B2B. We made the pivot and we basically zeroed down on contracting work. So I did a contracting course. I'm in cahoots with some solicitors and stuff, and I got my shit together with that and understood my rights and obligations and everything like that. And to now where we service, I would say 50-50 with residential and commercial, and specializing in probably education, light commercial, yeah. And multi-residential. We still do custom standalone residential houses as well, which, for us is relatively easy only because our guys have done a lot of them and yeah. I've been around a lot and, we are also a registered builder. So I'm not just a carpenter. We are a registered builder as well, just like any of the other builders that we are dealing with. So that also gives us an edge as well. That's essentially what it looks like now, and it hasn't happened overnight.
Yeah,
it's been a thing, obviously with Nick as well, with the content and the podcast and all this other things that we're doing to give back. It has opened up doors for us, and I'm excited for the future. But the question back to the office, this little humble abode that we're in, was my first official office. I'd never done a CTA. I've never done a commercial lease agreement.
Yeah.
I've never dealt with a solicitor for commercial property or anything. I've never done all that before. Right? I've never had anyone around me that had experience in that. Fuck. I made the decision, and this is the same thing as I preached throughout everything, is I was just around the right guys that were giving me the right advice. And about 3 years ago, was I in a position to make the jump? Probably not. I still remember right at the start, I was the only person in here, just me.
Damn, yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I started, it was just us two for 6 months or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So 3 years ago, I just, they said all right, now it's done. I was working out of home and an IKEA desk and, looked around.
Yeah.
And all I knew is that I wanted something that I could afford, Did I know that I could afford? I had no chance. I just knew that I was going to come up with the money, but I just didn't want something that was too expensive. And this was the perfect little thing. And I, is it flash? Fuck no. Is it the beautiful building? No, it's got shit toilets. It's not fantastic, but it was a start. So, and I think that's a lot of guys, they compare themselves to companies that, and I'm not saying that they're going about it the wrong way. Definitely not. But you need to do what you think is right for you and right for your company. And, and I'm glad I did, because it exposed me to go down that procedure and what I had to pay, what I didn't. So now, fast forward, we're done. We've done what we set out to do. Over the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to be bringing in another 2 office staff. So this office is way too small for us.
Yeah, right now it's full.
when we do team days, it's we have no chairs left.
Yeah, we're literally taking chairs from standing, all the offices.
It's standing room only. So we've outgrown the space, and I think if we were to stay, it would tarnish the build. It would tarnish us a little bit. So I think, like anything, man, it was just an organic sort of shift, and I'm going through the same fucking process that I went through 3 years ago. The place that we're moving into is about 3 times bigger than what we've got. And with that comes 3 times the more amount of expenses. So I'm in the same boat. How am I going to afford it? How am I going to do that? And these are all common things that I think about. And the other thing too is the legalities of it as well. I've never gone this deep in the thing with lawyers and stuff to negotiate and stuff. So, we made the decision and spoke to Tamara about it, and we just thought, fuck it, and then same thing again. I'm around a lot of guys that they've even said to me that the next place, because I'm thinking, I'm going to be in the next place forever, and these guys are saying mate, I think we're going there 5 years. We're fully anticipating that we will outgrow that well and truly in that space. So then it's what next? So, you know, that's essentially what we're doing. And we'll be releasing content about the journey of that and renoing it and changing it and doing it. And but it's like anything. I'm living within my means as well, right? Yeah. I'm doing what I feel that is comfortable and is not going to exert the business more than what is needed. You know, guys that go out there and do $1 million fit outs, but they're riding the wave of, say, one large client and that client goes bust.
Yeah.
What happens? You know, I never have all my eggs in one basket. I'm very mobile, very lean as I can be. But also, you know, I'm confident in the business now, you know? So yeah, that's a little bit of a blurb about what we're doing. And, as far as the work goes and the guys and the team and, like anything, it's going to consistently grow. We have sort of hit a bit of a glass ceiling in this space that we're in. So I am excited for the move because it is going to be the next chapter, not only for myself, you know, it's been, I just to contextualize it for all you guys, I've been in business, it would have been, by the time we move, I would have nearly been in there for 9.5 years.
Damn.
And for the first time ever, I will officially get my own office.
Yeah, if you don't know this office space, I'm the only one with like my own room.
Nick's the only one with his own.
They all work out in the open. Yeah.
So I'm out in the bullpen, but, you know, 9.5 years and I officially get my own actual room. So, you know, it's the little things. And for me, that's like a moment where I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was a little bit like, you know, so yeah. And, you know, not only that, but where I think it's a good time, it'd be a good time now to change the page for the podcast and the look and the feel and the direction that that's going in, because I do feel like, you know, now's the time for that. I feel like we have definitely gone through a lot of learning with it.
Yeah.
We've grooved it out. We found out what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, we've got some really exciting things coming for it. And then, so yeah, that's the next move. So
quickly talking about the podcast and then obviously content and that, it's almost become just a part of Ideal's branding, I guess.
Yep.
What was the decision to start doing content on social media?
So I have always had a passion for it. I've always wanted to do it. You know, originally I started out just doing it myself, fucking off my phone. But when I made the decision to bring on like the content, like the person that, like, they were the first person that I had before even having an admin, I had a guy doing content.
Crazy, yeah.
Right. So, and everyone would say, why? Why? Well, I always started it with not the plan to bring on more work. I didn't want to bring it. I never did it with that. And I always said to myself, and Tamara always said to myself, do not do this if the one goal is to bring in more work, because it won't.
Yeah.
It won't happen. And I think, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but coming into a business where the driving factor isn't that, takes the burden off your shoulders. Because as a content creator, and you know, if you're going into a business to be a content creator and they put you on a KPI setup, or you know, you're essentially a marketer within that business and you've got to hit certain targets and goals to bring in more leads and more work, it's a stressful environment. Yeah, right?
It's different. Before here, I worked with a large e-com brand clothing.
Yeah.
And yet that was my job.
Like, you're bringing in leads, right?
Yeah, like you're creating content to turn into ads to bring leads to convert.
Yeah. And I preached that very hard at the start when I started going down the path of bringing, you know, there was Alvin and there was Nathan and there was you. It was always that I don't need you to bring in more leads. The leads will come organically, right? They will. Will they come today? Will they come next year? Maybe. Who knows? But who fucking cares, right? Yeah. I'm not doing it for that. If I don't get another lead in the next 5 years, I don't care. I'm doing it because I want to do it. And the way that I look at it is it's an expense similar to rent.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to break a lease, I will probably then stop doing content.
Yeah.
But the way that I look at it is almost a necessity and something that I will have for as long as the business is around. And, you know, over time, the pay bracket and all that sort of stuff, and it will grow as it does. It will grow. Is it a hard slog? Fucking oath. But, hey, I'm enjoying it. Like, it's, you know, I think, and this is why I think in the next chapter it'll allow us to really double down harder and do some more things and come up with more ideas. And as the business grows, as I've always said, it will, the content will grow as well. But, you know, that's always my passion with it. I've always wanted to do it. So
yeah, nice.
Do I advise that any business owner does it when they first start out? You know, probably not. Go out there straight away and just go get a guy in as an overhead. I don't think so. But you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it either. So
Anyways, moving on from that, we are almost in quarter four for the year.
Yep.
I feel like the year ends freaking fast though.
Yep. Well, we're already planning fucking right up until June, July next year.
Anyway, so how's the year been?
Man. You ask me right now, I feel fucked, but it's been crazy, man. Like this year, and you know, we'll definitely do a thing like a full recap. But yeah. It's been crazy. You know, I took a massive leap this year to bring in an estimator full time.
Yeah.
It was a massive overhead, you know. If anyone wants to run numbers, let me give you some math and you can do the math. You got paying a guy 100 grand a year and you got a 10% net margin. How much money do you need to add to your revenue line to cover the cost of that before making anything?
You can use our calculator to do that.
The answer is $1 million. Right? So you have to essentially add $1 million of revenue to cover the cost of that overhead without making a single fucking dime. Okay. So for me, that was a massive stress point on whether or not I was going to do it. But it was like anything. I sat on the idea for ages and I thought, fuck it. And I never did it overnight. I progressed into it like I do with everything. It's a slow burn. Maybe not now, maybe not next month, next financial year or next year, but it will fucking happen. And it did, you know, to now he's in there full time and he's slowly moving into operations. So, which in turn has allowed us to grow and get more work and do more. And fuck, I could not imagine not having him in there now. I couldn't run this fucking business without him.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's probably a massive thing, that a massive lever that we pulled this year. You know, we've got another couple of massive levers to pull next year, with bringing in another estimator, another junior admin, and doubling down on the content and, you know, even those tasks, they're easier said.
Yeah. But
if you can just imagine how quick 3 months goes, it takes a while, right, to do these things. So, you know, if we do that in the next 12, that's a big 12 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and obviously if you're talking guys on site and teams and quality of work and what we're doing and the areas that we're stepping into, well, that will all come. That will all happen. We're getting approached by bigger clients, better clients. And, you know, I'm definitely putting an emphasis on trying to change the industry and change the way that some builders and stuff are pricing work. we're not trying to be the cheapest. I'm not competing with the cheapest. I do not want to be the cheapest. But rather than that, we're trying to give value where we can. So, you know, good luck to a lot of the guys out there that are chopping for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone that I've spoken to going into 2026, it is definitely going to be a subcontractor market. You know, there is not enough guys to build these things. So, which then in turn, obviously, turns into an employee market because you need to keep your guys, which we're fully prepared for as well. So, you know, I know that's coming.
So for the first half, or I guess technically three quarters of the year right now, what's been the biggest win and then the biggest challenge?
Uh, I think the biggest challenge was cash flow.
Mm.
That was the biggest challenge, in all honesty. The end of Q1 this year, around March time, I had probably my first ever real, I wouldn't say anxiety attack, but
yeah,
I had my first ever real heart fucking thing going on. I had to go on an ECG for a little bit and go to the hospital for that. That was massive, man. That was massive. It was because I never knew how much growth actually costs. And, you know, that was definitely probably the thing. But the biggest win, man, I would say is that I'm going away in about, you know, I don't know when this is coming out. I'm probably going to be away when this thing comes out, right? But I'm going away in a few weeks and I'm probably in the most comfortable spot going away that I've ever been. You know, I have full faith in people like yourself and the other guys that I lean on to take the ship while I'm away, you know, and that's not me being cocky or anything like that. Like, that's what I'm saying, guys. Like, I've put in the work. I put the trust in people and you know, that to me is probably the biggest win. I'm excited. This has been a massive trip in the planning for me personally. I've said it 1,000 times before, but I didn't just do this on the fucking whim. I'm not just like those social media guys that you see, oh, I'm just going to Europe tomorrow.
You've been telling me about this trip since last year.
Yeah. Since he nearly fucking started, right? So I have literally had this trip planned for nearly 2 years. And so, yeah, it's a big thing for me. And to be, for the business to be in the position that it's in and to still be winning work and doing work and invoicing work without me there and managing, that's everything that I've envisioned. So, you know, I don't need to be managing. I don't need to be invoicing. I don't need to be cross-checking hours. I don't need to be pricing work, getting back on RFIs. That's not in my basket. So anyone that's a business owner will understand that when you do that successfully, it's a massive thing and it does not come easy. And I'm not complacent with it at all. I'm definitely not complacent. Hence why I am a little bit of a fucking savage when it comes to a lot of things. But yeah, I do not stay complacent, you know.
Yeah. So heading into the last quarter, for context, we're recording this Tuesday, 9th of September.
Yep.
Heading into the last quarter, end of the year. Personally, where do you want to be at when the year ends? Like, could be including work, not including work.
I think personally, obviously it's going to be a very, very fast run into the end of the year.
Yeah.
We're going to have, I think when I get back, we got 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Till we close out. So.
Oh, damn.
It'll be literally moving.
Yeah.
We'll be in the first week. I think the middle of Q4, where in November we're moving. So that'll be a very tricky period there to juggle everything. So we're going to be moving and then, obviously Christmas party and events and all that sort of stuff. But, business wise, you know, as I said, on the inside where, you know, we're right that cusp right now that everyone probably knows. All right. We're in that gray zone where jobs are starting and jobs are finishing. Every business owner, anyone that owns a business will understand. You can never get it perfect. I don't care who the fuck you are. You never get it perfect. There's always that fluff in between. And guess where the fluff lands? Right when I'm away. Right when I'm fucking away, right? But for some unknown reason, I'm the most comfortable during that as I've ever been because I just know that we're on steady foundation.
Yeah.
The work doesn't come in. Well, then we do this, when we do that, we manage this, we manage that. Like, you know, if you'd gave me this 8 years ago, I'd be fucking stressing my eyes out. So, you know, where I think we're going to end up is I have a feeling that December, January, February is going to be the busiest 3 months that we've ever had on record in business. There is so many jobs that are landing to start in January, February. We've even got jobs already penciled in for Q2 next year. And it's ridiculous. So I think it's going to be a very, very fucking busy start of next year. And if it means that's it's a slightly quieter back end of the year, then so be it. But I definitely don't think it's going to be everything that I got planned in and that we've got out. It's showing that it's going to be a very, very busy time. So, and personally, man, I'm just looking forward to it, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very content with how I show up as a father and how I show up in business and, how I show up as a husband. I'm very content. So, yeah, I'm very, very keen to be present while I'm away.
Mm.
And I'm very keen to finish out the year over the Christmas break and spend that time with my family.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
Now, obviously, we'll do a bigger recap at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But what's like compared from this time last year to right now?
Yeah.
How's your day-to-day like focus shift? How you're leading the team? How's all that changed, if it's changed?
It definitely has changed. I feel like my leadership style and my day-to-day at the moment is I obviously have shit that I need to do,
yeah,
that I need to execute on. But a lot of the stuff is helping and managing and, you know, helping the people in and around me become better leaders,
yeah,
in how they communicate, and just keeping mentally on. That's, you know, I haven't had a drink in, I don't know, a year and a half. You know, I'm pretty much thinking I'm just going to cut that out for the rest of my life. It's not really something that I'm that keen on. But by doing that, it's allowed me to keep mentally clear.
Yeah. You know. So it just seems like you're at a state now where you're able to work, I guess, more on the business rather in the business.
More on the business.
Yeah.
Like the thing that I've got going with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, so like that thing, like in all honesty, if I was doing what I was doing 12 months ago, I probably wouldn't have had the time to even think about that or negotiate that deal.
Yeah. I read the whole thread.
You read the thread,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I was like, taking notes on how to negotiate.
Okay. So like, I negotiated that deal, but it was like I wouldn't have been able to do that if I wasn't in a clear mindset to do it, or I probably wouldn't have even thought about it. And I think that deal is actually going to be very, very good, right?
Yeah.
You know, the one and only. That's, you know, no one had done it yet. So you guys will have to wait and see what that is. You will see it. But I think that'll be very good. But I think, yes, it has allowed me to work on the business and what is in it for the business. Obviously, I'm not going to go out there and spend millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do what I think is going to put the business in the best spot that I think. And stuff like that, I know, will it give us the return on investment straight away? Probably not.
Yeah.
But it's the foundation, right?
Yeah.
That I know that in 12, 24 months time, that everyone's going to be like, oh, how? That's how.
Yeah.
That's how. We put the fucking energy in. We put the time in. We thought about it and we went out for it and tried to get it. So yeah, it's definitely allowed me to work more on the business than in it. I still have to work in the business to a degree like anyone else. But over the next 5 years, you know, there will become a point in time where I won't work in the business.
Yeah.
A lot of these roles, you know, when we get a CFO and, you know, and all that sort of stuff, they will become less about, you know, it'll really just be meetings and stuff like that. But, you know, my biggest driver is I want to give you know, vertical growth within the business, meaning with my staff, guys that are coming up through, whether it be apprentices or qualified guys, I want them to be able to grow into managers and construction managers and stuff within the business. Mm. And I'm confident that we're going to be able to offer that. That's my biggest driver.
Yeah.
Is that I do not want guys just to ever feel like they're just sitting still. You can grow within this business and it will grow. And I have no plans on slowing down or anything like that. If you guys want to know, Blue Sky, we are, you know, we are planning on going interstate. So that's definitely on the cards for us in the future. And yeah, there's massive opportunity in doing that, you know, and I've put the brakes on that because we are not ready for that. But I definitely feel in the next five, we will be.
Yeah.
You know, and as I said, nothing comes overnight, but I feel like in my head, the next 5 years is going to go like that. for me anyway.
Yeah.
Right? For everyone else, probably not. But I just know for me and the amount of stuff that we've got to do to get there. And it's exciting, man. It's going to be exciting. Is it going to be stressful times and we're going to fail? And fucking oath. But it's like, hey, whatever. Like, we just keep throwing shit at the wall until something sticks. And we're like, yeah, that works. And go to the next thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're coming to the end of it.
Yeah.
About to ask you the most generic question in the world, but I'll try tailor it a little bit. Right.
Just ask it. I've probably asked 1,000 guests, so go. Yeah.
From your perspective, where you are now talking to other business owners, talking to other business owners where you were 2-3 years ago, what's a piece of advice you'd give them?
Getting around the right guys.
Mm.
Yeah. That's it.
Getting around the right guys.
Getting around the right people, dude. Yeah. And not just your family, not your friends, not people on social media. Genuinely trying to go out there and actually find guys that you align with. Doesn't have to be contextually to your business, but just guys that share the same value. That's probably been my biggest shift in my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Is the guys that I'm around, they share the same values, dude. They share that they want to be better fathers, present, at home. They don't want to be working 70 hours a week. You know, it's not always about the money. The money will come. Yeah. You know, the stress of this, the stress of that. Like, you know, not always going home and relaying all the bad news to your wife. Going home and actually telling her the good news. You know, that's the guys that I've been around, and I think that has really, really helped me. And that's my one piece of advice that I could give to fucking anyone, dude.
Yeah.
To anyone, is just to get around the right guys. Doesn't mean that you need to ex your family or fucking get rid of this person or get rid of that person. Like, don't get me wrong, man. There's a lot of people that are close to me that might not share the same values as I do. Doesn't mean that I don't hang out with them. I still do. But I just know what I want. And Tamara knows what I want. And she's aligned with it. And she can see it too. So, and dude, like, having kids has been, you know, I'm planning on having another kid next year. So that'll be 3 for me. Having kids has been the biggest thing to change my mindset. I'm a strong believer in that your kids will eventually work out who you are.
Yeah.
They will expose you for who you are or who you aren't. You can put on the front that you're the hardest worker in the room. You can put on that you're doing it for your family. You can put on that you're trying to do X, Y, and Z. But eventually, your kids will find out exactly who you are or who you aren't. And I want my kids to know that, you know, I'm doing this for my family, but I've never once let it neglect time, because, you know, love for kids is not spelled L-O-V-E. It's spelled T-I-M-E.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, that's been the biggest driver for me, is to put that as my top thing, and everything comes secondary. And you know what's fucking funny? When I started really doing it and actually understanding and believing in it.
Oh, freaking, the camera's over here.
Cameras went off, but fuck it. Oh, we don't need the video. when I really started doing it and believing in it, the business just, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't take off, but it still went on. And I was like, cool, fuck. So I don't need to be neglecting my kids or, you know. And I think a lot of guys hide behind that, dude, in honesty. I think they do. I think they hide behind that. They use that as an excuse. And I think that's the group that I'm around, is they will call me out on my bullshit if I use that as an excuse. Like, if I say, oh, I'm doing it for my kids, they'll be like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Don't lie to yourself, dude. It's
a good group to be around.
Yeah. Like, don't lie to yourself. You're not doing it for your kids, because your kids don't give a fuck on whether or not you can drive that car or not. What they care about is that you're there, you're present, you're off your phone. You know what I mean? You're actually happy in the moment. You're actually playing with them. You're not just, oh, yeah, no, but I was there. But yeah, but were you really there?
Yeah. You're just there physically.
Were you just sitting there drinking beers, telling them to fuck off? Or were you actually playing with them? You know, and that's the sort of guys I'm around that will just call me out on that. And that's sort of what I needed. And so one piece of advice for all you guys. Yeah. If you haven't got anyone around you, be around me. I'll call you out on your bullshit 100%. Hey, as they always say, a true friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
So, great. Yeah.
But yeah, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
That's it, guys. That's it. So that's a yeah, that's the end like of this series.
Three-part mini-series.
Yeah, three-part mini-series.
I just like the layout of it. I was trying to think of something a bit different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just like, I guess I'll jump on the camera more.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we'll definitely do another one of these over time. And I think it is good, you know, episode 50 to give another little bit of a refresher on exactly who I am. And I think this three-part series is a much deeper dive into who I am and what I value. Because I think a lot of guys misconstrue who I actually am on social media. They think I'm a certain person that I'm actually not.
I do edit videos a certain way.
Yeah. You know, it's obviously for a reason, but, you know, that it gives you a little bit more about me. And obviously if you've got any questions or queries or comments, or you want me to talk about or elaborate further on things, just ask us and I can do that. So, right. But we will, see you on the next one.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Peace. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode, as this will be one that you don't want to miss.